You'd think I've been gone longer than 2 weeks. It always feels like I've been gone longer. I think it's mostly because I miss you people. And I always wonder if am I still going to remember what I do when I'm up here, and I think I do. And it was interesting to come back at this, the first Sunday in Lent, and the beginning of Lent, and it pushed me to ask the question, as I do at some level every year, why do Lent at all? Well, and there's a couple of there's one really easy answer, because it's in the church year, and we follow the church year, so we're going to do Lent whether we want to or not, in one sense. But that being said, we could avoid it if we wished. So why? Well, and I was hoping, at some level also, that when we went to our texts, there would be things here and these things that were just read for us that would make it perfectly clear what and why we were supposed to do Lent. And I'm afraid we didn't get really a lot of help there either. I mean, Lent is, generally speaking, considered that time of year when we prepare for Easter. And one of the things that we do to prepare is we do without something. And when we look at the texts we had, there's nothing in there about that, really. I was reading one commentator who said, it seems odd that there's nothing about the penitential nature of Lent in any of these texts. And so I'm not quite sure why they were chosen in one sense. But then in another, we start looking at some of the much larger themes that do connect with Lent and connect quite dramatically. Lent is one of those seasons that if you don't know the end of it, it's a terrible time. Lent is about giving things up. It's about doing without. And not just doing without, as I say every year. This isn't the time to give up having a bad attitude. Lent isn't about giving up things you shouldn't have in the first place. Lent is about looking at things that you can legitimately enjoy, coffee, chocolate, whatever it might be, television, and saying, I'm going to do without these things for this period of time because of what it does within me. Well, we know that this period of time comes to an end, that Lent isn't forever. And when we look at our Old Testament lesson, one of the things that we're seeing there is God's rescue of Noah and his family and all the creatures of the earth in the story in Genesis, with the sense that, yes, this is a terrible time, but it did come to an end. And then God reaching out to Noah said, this will never happen again. What we can take from that, there's all kinds of things we can take from that, but what we can take from that is not just the sense that God cares for those that need God's care, but also that nothing lasts forever. Some days it's harder to keep that in mind than others. But one of the benefits of having small people living in your home, in my case a 3-year-old, is that you get this vivid picture of that sense that what you're in will never end, whether it's a bath that they don't want, or whether it's going to bed, or whatever it might be. There's this sense that when someone is 3 and you've told them to do something or to engage in something they don't like, there's a strong sense that they feel this is going to be life forever and life is barely worth living. There's this, if this is all there is, I'm just going to throw a tantrum forever. Well, we know it doesn't last very long. Even a long bath doesn't last very long. And even if you sleep in, you don't sleep that long. Tomorrow's coming. Bath will be over. Supper will eventually be done when you finally eat. All of these things that we can see from our perspective are going, it's not that bad. But for them, for Eli, for my grandson, it is that bad. And we look at that with hopefully benign care and say, well, that's just how kids are. But that's how we are sometimes. Do you ever wonder if Noah and the humans in that boat thought it would just never be over? That they were just going to be on this boat with a bunch of smelly animals and then they were going to die? Well, I'd be surprised if that didn't cross their minds at least once, and maybe for even a few days at a time. And yet it did come to an end. And it didn't just come to an end in sort of just drizzling away and then it was over, but it came to an end with God making some profound promises to Noah and through Noah to all of us. Lent will come to an end. In Lent, we even get the break of Sundays. We get Sundays off in Lent. which is why this is the first Sunday in Lent, not the first Sunday of Lent. Lent is those 6 days between Sundays. And so if you've been giving things up, whether it's chocolate or coffee or whatever those things might be, if you choose to, you can bring them back in on Sunday, because Sundays are not the Lenten exercise. They are our oases in the middle of it. Well, and as we look at our New Testament readings, there's a couple of, well, they're connected things here. And one of the things that Peter talks about in his letter is he talks about how we are eventually going to be saved by the resurrection of Jesus. And if we read the larger context of this letter, for them to read all of it, it's not very long. What we see is that Peter is telling people that one of the things that is possibly going to come from following Jesus is that you may suffer because of that. He doesn't say you will. He doesn't say that we should go and seek out suffering. That's not Peter's position here at all. But he says this may happen, that your decision to follow Jesus may cause you to receive things that you don't like, whether it's something as simple as someone thinking that you're silly, or some of the far more profound suffering that our sisters and brothers are going through all around the world even now. It could be any of those things. But what we're reminded again here is that we will be saved. In other places, we see Paul in particular playing with some of the way the Greek language works, that we are saved and we are being saved and we will be saved. Peter here is talking more about, don't forget that no matter what, you will be saved. Suffering could happen. And in case we think it might not, we look at our gospel lesson. And we have the story of Jesus and this temptation. It's a weird story in some ways, or at least it's an odd juxtaposition. We have Jesus, he's been baptized, he's come out of the water. Depending on which gospel you read, God appears and says, this is a great thing. And immediately after that, Jesus gets chased into the wilderness and is tempted. Well, what's that all about? Well, I think it reminds us again that just because we're doing the right thing, it doesn't mean that that is a guarantee that our life will be easier. It's not a guarantee that it'll be harder, no matter what people might tell you. It's a famous sports biography called Nice Guys Finish Last. It's not true. Nice guys occasionally finish last. Sometimes they finish first. Sometimes they finish all over the place, because that's just the nature of sport. It's the nature of all kinds of things. But we sometimes think that when we're doing the right thing, that that will always lead to good and immediate outcomes, and it simply doesn't. Ask anyone who has made a significant change in their life over almost anything. The example I use frequently, and this is to put it on as sort of as objective or as non-emotional as you can get, it's when people who use a computer or a typewriter, and they taught themselves and they use two or three or maybe four whole fingers to type, and they decide that, well, maybe they want to change. And currently they type at probably 15 or 20 words a minute, which isn't too bad, and they're pretty accurate. But they look at other people who type using all of their fingers and both of their thumbs, and they say, well, I would, that looks faster. I think I'd like to try that. And so the first thing that happens when you start learning how to type is you type way worse. You type slower, and you make a lot more mistakes. And this is when most people quit. But if you push through that, you will eventually find that you are typing faster than you did before, and you're making fewer errors, and pretty soon that you're in a position where you say, I'd never go back. Just because you're making a decision to do something good doesn't mean that you will immediately receive that reward. And we sometimes forget that. We forget it about something as trivial as typing, or something as significant as giving up a behavior that doesn't suit us well, giving up an addiction, One of the best things you can do as a smoking person is to quit. I know perfectly well. I also know that for the next period of time after I quit, I was not pleasant to be around. But because I went through that and put my family and friends through that misery as well, I'm here now at 55, which I might not have been if I wouldn't have stopped. Was it worth it? Yes, it was worth it. Did I think it was worth it 5 days after I quit smoking? 2 months after I quit smoking? Absolutely not. It was a terrible time. Sometimes, doing what we need to do, sometimes the outcome of doing that thing doesn't seem that great. When you give things up during Lent, your friends and your coworkers, maybe even your family, may think you're kind of crazy. But you're not. One of the things that we see over and over again is that doing things that matter often have a cost. It's not always there. It's not always a terrible thing. Don't get the idea that deciding to make good decisions in your life will mean that you're miserable for a period of time, because often it doesn't. But it can. And one of the things that Lent does is it reminds us again of that reality. But it does it in a more gentle way, and it allows us to decide what we're going to do. It allows us to choose, in a sense, the outcome. If you're someone who drinks 3 or 4 pots of coffee a day, if you give up coffee during Lent, you're going to have a couple of headaches for the first few days. But you choose that. And you know that at the end, you can go back to your other behaviors if you wish. It's good for us to be reminded that even though we're doing what's right, even though we're doing what's best, it doesn't mean that we'll get this instant payoff. And it's good for us to be reminded of that, because it's so easy for us to quit. It's easy for us to begin things but not follow through because they're hard. I used to tell my kids, well, I still tell my kids, and they're complaining about homework, or they're complaining about learning how to ride a bike, or whatever else it is. I used to tell them, almost nothing of value comes easily. And it's true. Almost nothing of value comes easily. Pretty much all of it takes work of some kind. Some of it ceaseless work, some of it unpleasant work, but it all takes something. But we push through that to get to the end. And Lent reminds us of that pushing through. Lent reminds us that Jesus did this. When Jesus came to earth, everything changed for him in a way that we can barely even imagine. And I'm sure it at least crossed his mind more than once. Is this really worth it? Should I really keep going? I have to keep walking everywhere. I have to keep dealing with people who don't get it. But he kept going until it was done. Lent is only a few weeks. It doesn't mean it's easy if you pick something that's a real challenge. The most challenging Lenten observance I ever made was not snacking after supper. Wow, that was hard. I was so happy when Lent was over. That one was so hard, I didn't even do it on Sundays, because I figured if I did it on Sunday, I was going to lose momentum and it would all go. But I knew it was short-lived. And I knew it was worth it. And it was. It reminded me about sacrifice. It taught me things about habits and about just falling into behaviors. It taught me all kinds of really good things that it took me a while to learn, because that's the way it is. We live in a fallen world. No matter how perfect our motives, no matter how perfect our behaviors, the world itself is still fallen. It isn't perfect. And sometimes we're going to do things for the right reasons that are the right things to do. And not only will we not be rewarded, we'll be vilified. Our motives will be called into question. Our actions will be ridiculed. When that happens, it's a whole lot harder to keep going on these things But we have a built-in, every year, opportunity to practice keeping going in Lent. Now, I don't know if you're giving up anything for Lent. You don't have to. Nobody's going to ask in any kind of a checking up on you sort of way. But if you do, one of the things you can take from it is the reminder that we sometimes have to work at things to get to where we want to be. And sometimes the work is pleasant, and sometimes it's not. But when we're working towards an end of value, the work takes on value also. The suffering that we undergo during Lent is not the most significant suffering we'll ever do or ever undergo, and it's obviously nothing like the suffering of Jesus. But it's a connection with it nonetheless. So we do Lent when we do Lent for that connection. We go through the season of Lent every year because it makes Easter better, because it prepares us for what's coming, for it helps us to enter into what this whole season means. If you do Lent, terrific. If you don't for whatever reason, that's also perfectly fine. But when you do, at least now you have a few more reasons why. And I would encourage you to at least give something a try this Lent or maybe next. Amen.